Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
All this excitement leads into the story of Kyrie Irving returning because, boy, Kyrie Irving is thrilled to be back with the Nets. He's going to play in the Nets' next game tomorrow night after being away for reasons unknown. Listen to Kyrie Irving talk about how stoked he is to be back and playing for the Nets once again. This is from earlier today.
Hi, Kyrie. I'm wondering if you were aware that you had violated the health and safety protocols and what that process was like for you in coming back and going through that investigation, one. And then secondly, what your communication was like with the team while you were away.
Happy to be back. Happy to be around these guys. Address the team. Address everybody that needed to be addressed. Now it's time to move on.
Bruce Beck.
Health and safety front.
I'm sorry, Malika. Go ahead.
I just was circling back on the health and safety front.
Happy to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, he's excited. Oh, he's, I can't wait to go play. I got James Harden. I got Kevin Durant. I am so excited. And now, first of all, that's a horrendous question by Malika Andrews, right? I have no problem calling people out when, listen, you're a reporter and you want to ask two questions. Who does that? If you ask a question, that gives the person you're asking carte blanche to say whatever the hell they want to.
Well, he got to choose which one he wanted to answer,
exactly.
Right?
You ask one question and then follow up. First, tell me about this. Did you know you violated things? And then tell me how you feel. As soon as you do that, the person listening just goes, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to help the team. They're going to immediately disconnect. You got to ask a better question, especially when I know at ESPN, you go through a rigorous training how to ask questions and how to do it the right way. It's a whole big thing. It's one of the best things ESPN does. You go through, here's the right way. They have a guy there that's worked there for years who says, this is how you do interviews and this is how you ask questions to get the right answers. I mean, it's one of those things that just baffles me that every time we hear post-game press conferences, we hear questions like that. And you go, you wonder why nobody says anything at the end of games? That's why. Because you get questions, well, do this and then answer that and then answer. No, then he's going to give you an answer. I'm just happy to be back, ready to go. You know, I mean, it was kind of like when Tom Cruise calls and Kush answers the phone. I just want to play football. Dad, phone for you. Agent, Dad, come get the phone. I mean, that's what it was. Kyrie Irving, look, he was sitting on his now the Kyrie Irving part of it. Look, he's answering these questions. He's leaning on his arms. He looks like he's the bored teenager on this Zoom call when clearly the first time you are hearing from him following his absence from the game, you should be hearing something where I'm excited to be back. I feel really bad about what happened. I needed this. You're going to get explanation. You're going to get, I can't wait to get on the court with Kevin and James Harden. Instead, I addressed it with my teammates, needed some time away, and that's what it is. And that's how the Nets are dealing with this. He needed time away, and now he's back with the team. Right? You know that this is the same situation it was when he walked away. There's been no conversation about how it is going forward. There's been no – it's the same exact thing as when Kyrie walked away. This is why he's such a wild card. I can't trust him, and I'll tell you this much, right? If the Nets wanted to trade him, they can't do it now, right? Because his value is at an all-time low. If you tried to sell Kyrie Irving right now, nobody's buying. Nobody's buying. It's too much money, and I don't really know what kind of guy I'm getting. Am I getting someone who wants to play? I have no idea. But if I'm the Nets, what I do is I tell him, listen, if you hate us and we hate you, just play well for 20 games, all right? Don't cause controversy. Don't leave the team. Can you stand up for 20 games? And then we can trade you someplace else in the league since you obviously don't want to be here. You don't want to be playing for Steve Nash. You don't want to play for a team that doesn't ask your opinion more about things. We will trade you someplace. And then by the deadline, which is now the end of March, because the season ended later, it's not going to be All-Star weekend. It's going to be the end of March. Then they will trade him. He will get to go someplace else. And I would tell him, we'll trade you to a place you want to go. Don't worry. We're not going to to send you to some basketball outpost someplace. We'll trade you someplace you really want to go. So if you can do that for me and do that for us for like 20 or so games, then we'll make sure we get you someplace else. And by March 26th, I do it. I promise. That's the deal I make with Kyrie, because you can't trade him now because he's got no value. No, but 20 games or so, you get teams thinking, okay, we'll get Kyrie to buy in. He wants out. He had problems with the Nets, but now it looks like everything is okay. Then I can make a trade for him. That's what I do right now if I'm the Nets.
Yeah, I'd say this. Go back to the interview for a second, right? For those that do this in any walk of life, and particularly if you're thinking about going in the broadcasting world, the first question of the and one is the one you really wanted to ask. So if you give them the opportunity for part two, it's normally a more innocuous kind of jokey question, or at least something they can tap dance around. They're going to take option two. And look, for Kyrie Irving, you know what I got out of it? This was his version of the Marshawn Lynch, I'm here so I don't get fined. Mm-hmm. They're making me talk to you.
Yeah.
And for all I know, everything's fine with his teammates. He just didn't want to talk to the press today. We'll find out over time, you know, as they get back to playing and he integrates himself into the offense. Curious to see what that looks like, right? Obviously, Harden and Durant having some fun playing together. Folks forgetting that they once upon a time did play together. So this is an entirely new, different guys, different phase of their career, whatever. But James Harden looking to pass and looking at double-digit assists, that's kind of entertaining. But we'll find out on the court. And if it disintegrates, it disintegrates and it becomes that. But for the moment, I give it the benefit of the doubt that this was more just a, hey, you know, you got to go meet the press. And then you get bad question after bad question. I'm off for personal reason. Well, what personal reasons? And you violated health and protocol. Okay, next. Like, we understand that. We saw the pictures. Like, what the hell is he going to say beyond that? Is he going to start going deep into his family gatherings and whatever else transpired? No, he's going to say, beat it. Asked, answered. I'm back. Let's go. And that's exactly what he did here, with less energy than I gave you right now.
we have more energy on a nightly basis than Kyrie brought there. He looked like a bored kid. He's like a bored teenager. Yeah, I really don't want to talk to you because you know Kyrie now, it's probably the media's fault for something, right? Like he's probably had
to watch sports talk radio
and go, oh, the media telling me I need to go back to work. I need to do all of these things. Why is the media is evil? And it's just, dude, you were the only one that didn't show up to work. Yeah, for some reason you needed time. Everybody else is showing up to work and dealing with whatever they don't like in their life, and you are the one guy that didn't come in. But yet it's everybody else's fault. But this is who Kyrie is. I mean, this is who he is. And I think things are going to change. They're not.
I would hope that, you know, his agent, his manager, whatever creative team around, someone clipped all of the articles and minutes on television shows and radio that have highlighted everything he's done for the past however many years. I mean, it goes back a while, right? He paid all the salaries of the WNBA players that opted out of this last season. He bought the house, like we talked yesterday, George Floyd's family. He bought houses and goods and services for kids and everything else all over. Like, he's done a lot of great things. So there's a lot of positive press, right? That's the problem of being such a huge public figure and a guy that's had a run of success. You're going to get a lot of good. But if you walk away from the job that gave you that platform, people are going to ask questions, particularly when you chose to create a mini super team with Kevin Durant. And then they go get you the third guy with the magical beard and who evidently was wearing one of those sweat vests or something while he was in the blue uniform in Houston, and he got out of town. And all of a sudden, hey, look, I'm the thin guy that was walking on the rocks that you remember from the start of quarantine. So, yeah, we got a lot of questions there. But for Kyrie Irving, you know, I hope that people show him the other side of the coin, because the media certainly has been effusive with praise when warranted and when they have had the knowledge of what he's been doing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This may be my hottest take of the night. Dan Patrick, our own Dan Patrick, reporting earlier today on the mess that has been the Tennessee Volunteers. Look, Tennessee fired their head coach after recruiting issues, and Phil Fulmer at the press conference said that recruiting is going well. So that's what a great thing. At a press conference talking about the dismissal of a coach that had recruiting illegalities, you say recruiting is going well.
Well, no, and his own finish, right?
Dude,
the former coach who once led them to a title and everything. That, yes, while he's out the door as well, it's recruiting's good.
Hey, you guys have been recruiting illegally. How's recruiting going? It's going great. Are you kidding? Great. No, you're kidding. It's going awesome, man.
Tell me, why was it different this year than other years past?
Oh, we were able to get all kinds of cash to people. Our recruiting's going great. We got caught, but still. But this story gets even better than Phil Fulmer saying, yeah, recruiting's going fine.
Six
of course
guys.
It is.
Since Phil Fulmer left the coaching job in 2008, six men have been on the sidelines for 10 Tennessee. Go back to Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Jim Chaney, he was an interim, Butch Jones for 51 games, then Brady Hoke as an interim for two games, and then Pruitt hired in 2018.
Yeah, yeah. And now they're looking for a new head coach. I'm sure Peyton Manning will take over.
He's at least on the head of the search, right? That was what was reported yesterday, so we got all our Adam Gase jokes in.
So, but here's where the hot take comes in, because Dan Patrick reported earlier today that he was told by his source, how did the head coaches, the assistant head coaches, how did they get them on recruiting violations? You know, how did this happen? You know, I mean, what went on? And Dan Patrick said his source told them they put money into McDonald's bags and gave them to the recruits when they came on campus. Quote, some of the campus visits were not organized or they were not above board, but they were handing out cash. So you literally had bagmen and they put the cash in McDonald's bags and handed it to the recruits. Now, here's my hot take. Honestly, I would be upset if someone hands me a McDonald's bag and I look inside and it's just money because I'm looking forward to a Big Mac or a quarter pounder with cheese or something else.
Here's a Homerism for you.
Money can
Quiet,
be exchanged.
You fool. Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Ooh, explain how. But I'd be a little upset. I'd be going, whoa, McDonald's. Oh, it's money. That's great. But I really want a Big Mac. And I'd be a little upset. I'd want a would I want a Big Mac? I don't know if it would be. It would be depend on the mood. I'm either quarter pounder with cheese or Big Mac. It really depends on the day. I'm unpredictable. But I would be a little upset.
But did the money smell like a Big Mac?
Oh, that would be just a cruel tease. I'd be like, I can't even have this money. I can't have this money around my room. All we're going to do is want some kind of crazy Thousand Island dressing now. No, I can't have this around me. You know, just take the money back. Can you get me a cheeseburger?
Wow, this guy could be bought for cheeseburgers.
Can you get me? Wait, we don't need 50 grand? No. Just got about a cheeseburger every day.
Just give him a gift card.
Cheeseburger every day.
Refill it every once in a while.
Right here. Like when you and I had in college when you went to go eat when you went to go eat dinner, you would go to the dining hall and they would swipe your dining card. It would take a meal away and you would go eat.
Yeah,
just give me something like that. McDonald's. Yeah,
and
so
then
I could
walk in with giant gym bags and they'd go and steal a gallon of milk. Fill it up. What did you just take? 5 gallons of cranberry juice. Why? No reason.
Because I could. It's like going to Costco. Hey, you know what we need a dental floss at Costco. Okay. All right. $10. Wow. It's 45 things of dental floss. Yeah, we need a dental floss until I'm 70 years old. All right, great. But we got it. We're good. But
one of the guys that will walk up, can I just get one of the giant industrial-sized bags of Lucky Charms? It's like, you going to eat all this here? No.
But if okay. I was a kid and you said, listen, it's going to be a free McDonald's card for you. And what does that mean? Whenever you go to McDonald's, whatever it comes off this card and it's paid by somebody else. Ooh, that now you're talking. Then I could take my friends down. Come on, dude. I get anything I want. I can get like 12 Big Macs. Just come with me. I'd be the king. Are you kidding? I mean, anybody. I mean, look, how many guys have walk around college have all that money, you know, because they got. No, but I got the McDonald's card. I mean, everybody's got cash for parties and all this stuff. Dude, go with Jason. He's got the McDonald's card, man.
Yeah, but you come back for your second year and your physical to renew your scholarship. His cholesterol is through the roof.
No, they'll give me a pill for that.
He's
no, 19.
20. No, what happened?
You know how much I burn that? Oh, if I'm working out in football, you know how much McDonald's I'd need to eat just to keep up? Oh, God, I gotta go breakfast, lunch. I could do like a Morgan Spurlock thing and go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day.
You remember how that ended, right?
Yeah, well, I conveniently left that part out. Yeah, I conveniently left that out. But
yeah,
I really,
the last 15 minutes are the key, pal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you know, I understand the dangers. I get that. But, I mean, that's kind of where I would be like, go with Jason. Dude, he's got the McDonald's card. I would be the McDonald's card guy. Girls would come to me going,
better. better than any fraternity party ever. Oh, follow Jason. Yeah. He's having a party at the McDonald's.
I'm like the Pied Piper. I'm walking down the street like Frosty the Snowman, and everybody is behind me. And I'm just singing.
You're going to be looking like Frosty the Snowman, too. All big and round and pasty.
Thumpity thump thump, chicken McNuggets go. Thumpity thump thump. I got the, I'd have the broom in my hand. I got the top hat on. Everybody's behind me, dressed in mittens, and they're all going crazy. We're going to McDonald's and getting free food. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump.
And it works because if you were at Syracuse during this and you had a scarf on because it's fall and winter, you know the
the traffic cop smiles at me, waves me down. Come on in, thumpity thump thump.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
What Ralph Ervin just said was close to agreement has actually happened. We have breaking news coming in right now here, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. East Coast time.
From Fox
Let's
Sports.
Go to Ralph Ervin, and he has all the details. All right.
Well, Jason, you know, it's one of those things that it's not one person reporting it, but literally everyone that is a baseball insider now reporting it. And the deal is 6 years, $150 million, as George Springer will go and join the Toronto Blue Jays outfield. Everybody is, say, John Heyman, Jeff Passan, you name it, they're reporting it. Ken Rosenthal, all on this story, as George Springer will go. I don't know where Toronto's going to play in the coming year, but he is going to the Blue Jays.
The Mets are going to absorb Toronto. That's how much money we
have.
We're absorbing Toronto, and they're just going to play for us on days where, you know, the Mets players need off. The Blue Jays will play instead.
Okay, I like
that's
that.
How it's gonna
work. Split squad games. Now come to the regular season.
Which one is That's Tebow right. on?
I don't think there's going to be a spot for Tebow. I think that ship has sailed, my friend. It's sailed away, far away.
Well, yeah, he's going to go play for the Jaguars now.
Sure, exactly. Hey, listen, hey, if I can call Urban Meyer and convince him to make Tebow a starting quarterback so they pass on him with the number one overall pick, I'm happy with Trevor Lawrence. We'll have Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. Make them fight it out in training camp. It'll be great.
It'll be Tebow Taysom Hill.
Thanks a bunch, Ralph. Appreciate it, buddy. So, yes, that is the news. John Heyman, first to report this. Ken Rosenthal confirming the Blue Jays in agreement with George Springer, 6 years and $150 million. This is kind of a shock. We thought he was ticketed to the New York Mets. However, it goes to the Blue Jays. And again, Ralph brings up a good point. Where are the Blue Jays going to play? Are they going to play out of Florida? What's going to happen? It is a very difficult situation for them. But this, I give them all the credit in the world for landing a guy who was the big free agent out there that teams wanted to go get. Most of the Astros have shown that when we're not getting the signs ahead of time, it gets a little bit more difficult for us. Springer has been the one trash can proof guy, I guess you could say, over the course of the last year or so. So he's the safest one to go out and get. He had 14 home runs this past season. Remember, it was only a handful of games, and he still hit 14 home runs. So he still is hitting a guy that's going to hit 265, 270. He's going to knock in about 90 to 100 runs. Look, Springer's still a really good player, and he's 31. I don't know what the last 3 years of this deal are going to look like for him, because suddenly you're 34. Is he still going to be as big of an asset? Is he still going to be able to where is he going to play? Is he still going to be able to lead off? You don't know where the last 3 years are going to be, but the first 3 years of this deal are going to be great for the Blue Jays. It's a great move for Springer. The next 3 years are going to be awesome.
Yeah, as we watch this play, you know, you try to start looking at ballpark effects and where, but as we know, we don't know where home is going to be. Maybe one of the spring training facilities when it's all said and done. That'd be kind of interesting now, wouldn't it? But we look at a guy that 14 home runs in the abbreviated campaign, still played 222 plate appearances, 14 home runs, 6 doubles. I'll take that kind of power. Yeah, the batting average dipped, but that's right back to where he was in 2018, ahead of his 292, which right now for his career is the outlier. He's a 270 hitter, but spraying doubles and driving in runs, and he's no stranger to taking a walk in larger sample sizes. So a good pickup, certainly derails what you were expecting for your New York Mets, and maybe you have to cancel that jersey because you had a Lindor Springer kind of combo deal going on. I know you were trying to figure out what the best way was to mix their names, but yeah, look, he's a guy that has two 30 home run seasons in his career. Third was a 29 and 82 back in 2016 when he played in 162 games. So you get a power broker in the middle of your lineup. And overall, I mean, that's not a horrible deal. And maybe it's another one of the dominoes to fall. They start getting the free agent train rolling, right? Because there's still a lot of guys waiting to get their deals. This one, I think, comes in a little lower than I would anticipate. So a bit of a deal for Toronto.
You know, here's the thing is that, like I said, I look at this deal in terms of 3 years because Springer's 31. Right. Mm-hmm. And I look at this deal kind of like when the Yankees signed Johnny Damon, when, okay, it was a big deal. It was a lot of money. It was getting Johnny Damon away from the Red Sox. And the first couple of years were going to be great. But boy, center fielders get old fast, you know, and guys that lead off get old fast. And you're not that much of a contributor when you're 34, 35 years old, when you were signed to play center field and lead off. You know, so that was what happened with Johnny Damon. You know,
the first Johnny Damon was a guy that you were expecting to also steal a bunch of bases for you for a while.
Yeah, no, true.
Right. But so I mean, it's not like Springer's legs are part of the deal of what you're buying.
No, but you're the first three. Like I said, by the time you get to year four of this deal, and Springer's 34, going on 35. Is he still going to be a good enough center fielder? Is he still going to be a guy that can hit leadoff? Or is he going to be a player who, boy, really should be hitting seventh and you got to move him to left field and suddenly, boy, he's got a lot of money due these last 3 years? That's why I look for the free. It's one of those front. This is a front loaded deal.
Sure.
Where not about the money, but I mean, as far as what you get out of it, you know, you're getting the best right now. And so, all right, and then you figure out the last 3 years. Hopefully it works out for you. Look, 3 years from now, there could be a whole new front office in Toronto. Or, you know, everything changed. Let's worry about the next 3 years. But the first 3 years of this deal will be great. And it'll be great for the Blue Jays. It's a huge jump for them because, look, the AL East is just getting more and more competitive. You got to get over the Yankees and the Rays now. Although, you know, look, the Rays had some losses this offseason, but still they find a way to win 90 games almost every year.
Sure.
You have improving teams. This now puts the Blue Jays up in the mix because he was the prize free agent here. So next 3 years is going to be great, but boy, what kind of production is he going to have when he's 34, 35, and suddenly you say, boy, we're paying this guy a lot of money, and he's got to play left field, and he's got to hit seventh. That's going to be the tough part.
Well, I think what you have to do, and we talk about it all the time, of, all right, what are you looking at your future to be, right? And who's going to be next in line to get paid and all of those fun pieces of the puzzle? Because eventually, the rest of your now potent lineup is going to be.
Oh my God, that
paid.
Lineup is incredible.
Right? I mean, you look at the way the lineup is set up right now, but incredible. 3 years from now, all of these guys are signed in $200 million deals.
Yeah.
So you want to win now, you got to overpay and add a couple of years on the back end to get Springer in your lineup now.
Yeah, because listen, you're right. All these guys, look, you know, Biggio, Springer, Bichette, Vlad Jr., Gurriel. I mean, these are all guys that are going to get paid so much
right?
money.
Right. So you overpay now while you still have to, you know, guys on the cheap, right? Vlad Guerrero is going to make $575,000 this year.
Yeah.
Right. So we do our dollar cost averaging, and George Springer is a bargain.
But that lineup is really going to be amazing. I mean, they are going to. You talk about relentless lineups, right? And you know, the Dodgers clearly have had a relentless lineup for the past 6 years. There's no easy outs because they have 14 people that could play every day. The Braves have a relentless lineup that way. Other teams are close to it, but those are the two teams where I say to myself, these are lines where there's no weak spots. Where you are, it's not like, okay, well, I got the eighth spot, the pitcher. No. You get down to the eighth spot, it's going to be difficult. Especially if the DH winds up becoming universal. Good luck when the Dodgers can trot nine guys out there that can just pound you into submission. And the same thing with the Braves. You know, I look at a team. Look, not just me, but I look at the Mets. Hey, that would be great. They got too many guys for too many positions. But clearly, the Braves and the Dodgers, these are the lineups I don't want to face if I'm a pitcher. I look at this and go, where am I going to get get my outs? How am I not going to avoid having runners at second and third every inning? Because that's how dangerous they are top to bottom. And now the Blue Jays are in that. I mean, Springer may lead off. He may hit second. You don't know. They could drop him down a little bit, but clearly he's going to be a top of the lineup kind of guy. But man, this lineup is incredible. And you're right.
Ready for the numbers that Frostburg just sent us?
Oh my God. Go ahead.
From Mark Feinsand, who works for MLB Network. He on his Twitter feed at Feinsand, Feinsand. Mets top offer, 120 to 125.
Oof. Wow.
You're talking $6
million. Yeah.
25 over 6. So $4 million a year less than what he gets with the Blue Jays.
Look,
and then you can just say, it's funny money up there in Canada.
Yeah, it is.
That's what my great uncle always said.
Well, no, but it's the exchange rate. I'm sure the money was the exact same, but it seems like more because it's Canada. It just seems like it's more. He's really only getting like $35 million.
Yes.
I mean, when you talk about the exchange rate, that's all he's getting.
Yes, because we're not communicating any of these numbers in U.S. dollars.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't know it was Canadian. I thought I put that at the bottom of the contract, George. Oh, I'm sorry about that. So wait, what does 6 years and 150 look like?
You will be paid in loonies.
It's really 6 years and $17 million. So that's where you're at. But we're happy to have you, man, for $3.5 million American a year. We're very happy for that for you.
Yeah, current exchange rate is 79 cents on the dollar. Canadian dollar equals 0.79 U.S. dollars. So to put this in perspective, let me put in my 150. I think I need one more zero. There we go. 150. Yeah, $150 million would come out to only 117.9 in U.S. dollars, which is about what the Mets offered. So there you go.
Yeah, but here's the thing is that, look, I know you say, oh, the Mets. If this was the Fred Wilpon Mets and Jeff Wilpon Mets, I would say, yeah, okay, it's embarrassing how the Mets operate. But clearly things change when they got Francisco Lindor. They would have loved to have George Springer, but it's not that George Springer was a necessity.
Now you're backtracking. We're buying everybody. We want everybody. Bring him here.
The reason we're not buying him is because we're going to buy Trevor Bauer and Brad Hand and Christy Mathewson and Lou Gehrig and Tony Lazzari. We're buying all these guys. That's all that matters. We're buying Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio. We're getting both of them. He became less of a priority. So if the Mets didn't get Lindor, I can tell you for certain they would have gone above the Blue Jays. Said, oh, this 6-150? How about 6-175? They would have gone above because they needed to bring in another big bat in that lineup. But they made the deal for their franchise player, and they got to sign him long-term. And you think that Springer got a lot of money. What do you think Lindor is going to get? Guy's the best shortstop in baseball. What do you think? And he's 27 years old. What kind of deal do you think? He's going to get like $500 million for 6 years. So the Mets are saying, okay, you know, we like Springer, but we're not going to go crazy because we still have money to go spend on a guy like Brad Hand. Or I think they're probably out on Bauer at this point, but clearly a guy like Brad Hand, maybe another starter they'll bring in. But the funny money for Bauer, I think, is going to go someplace else. But, you know, clearly they have to take some of that money and give it to Lindor. But if they didn't have Lindor, they would have got Springer. The deal would have been done already. But they went out and got Lindor, and they got to give him money and sign him long term. So I can see exactly why. Look, this does not bother me. Look, I'll be the first guy to tell you, oh man, same old Mets. No, it's not same old Mets. This is, we got our guy. It was great. We like George Springer, but, you know, Blue Jays go happy. You go got him. Everything's great.
Okay. We'll send a virtual hug your way and maybe a bag of McDonald's.
Yeah. And, you know, what was the last offer? Was it before Lindor signed? Was it like a week and a half ago? And then did the Blue Jays say 150 and the Mets said, okay, that's fine. We're out. You guys go get him. I mean, look, to come out the way it did like that, the Mets aren't going to be outbid by anybody. Steve Cohen's not going to be outbid by anybody unless they didn't want him. I mean, I joke around about that, but clearly, if the Mets really wanted him, they could have given it to him. He's got the money. Steve Cohen's got that in a shoebox in his office right now. He's going, oh, honey, can you get me the 8th shoebox from the left? It's row 14 of my shoebox money. I think there's $150 million in there. No, that's the $200 million shoebox row. The $150 million shoebox row. Yeah, can you hand me that? Great. Okay, great.
Are those custom label shoeboxes, or are they coded based on which player they are, right? So if they're LeBron's, they're some level of shoebox in terms of cash inside?
It's in your UGG shoebox from Christmas 2 years ago. That's the one right there. Hand me that, and I got to get a messenger to get this money over to.
Why is this one heavier? Oh, it's filled with platinum bars.
Oh, no, that's got the Bitcoin in it. Wait, really? We have Bitcoin? Oh, yeah. We got it all over the place.
Why is it so light?
It's invisible Bitcoin. So, yes, again, the big news, George Springer to the Toronto Blue Jays. 6 years, $150 million. That lineup is freaking relentless. And, yes, their window to win is right now because you got a lot of guys that are going to get a lot of money from other places not named Toronto in a couple of years. Boy, that lineup is going to be a lot of fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, Fox Sports 1 NBA insider extraordinaire, who said, I am not coming on your show again, Jason and Mike, until the Knicks win back-to-back games on consecutive days. So welcome back to the show, Rick Bucher. Thanks for stopping by, Rick. Appreciate it. Thanks for making good on your promise to us.
Not a problem. I was getting a little nervous, but I'm glad that they were able to knock it out.
So, the Knicks are so huge. I mean, winning two games, they haven't done that since 1994. It's a very, very big deal. But we'll start with Kyrie Irving. How does that sound?
I guess. This conversation with you and the Knicks is like the neon green shoes on Bol Bol. They catch your eye, but they're not the most important thing about Bol Bol, and yet you just can't ignore them.
All right, I've never quite had that analogy, but I dig that.
And you probably never will again. I don't know anybody else who would even consider bringing that up as an analogy, but there you have it.
All right, so look, we watch Kyrie's return today, announcing in a press conference he's excited to be back, and he looked anything but excited, leaning on his arm, it's all good, ready to play, ready to be. I feel like they're getting the same guy back, Rick, that walked away, and it's still a tenuous situation with Kyrie in the Nets. So what are you hearing is going on right now?
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, the difficulty is that when I say we, the public, the media, are not exactly clear. Kyrie has not made it exactly clear why he was gone for 2 weeks, exactly what it was. There's indications that it had to do with the unrest in the country at large. He's sort of hinted at that. He said there's also family things. I don't know the specifics on that. And I haven't talked to too many people in the league who do have a clear view of exactly what's going on. And that's including people inside the Nets organization. Maybe Sean Marks does, maybe Steve Nash, maybe there's one person or two people inside the organization, but across the board, they don't know. And that's the concern, is that not knowing what took him away for 2 weeks, you don't know if there's going to be a continuation of it, if there's going to be another lapse, if there's going to be another departure. And look, what's so confusing is there are things that he's doing that are to the positive. And I think we've talked about it, where he's trying to be relevant outside the game of basketball. He's trying to have a presence and be a change for good in the world at large, which I commend. I think that's great. He just doesn't know how to go about it in conjunction with being an NBA player, and as a result, it undermines how we view him as a player, unfortunately. And so in the big picture, I mean, that's all our conversation about who Kyrie Irving is and what we think of him as a player. But from the Nets standpoint, you know, the bar has now been set. They're supposed to be going to the finals, if not winning at all. That's they've cashed in all their chips, although they are looking to add a couple more pieces and go all in. But this is a huge question mark in terms of where's Kyrie Irving, especially now with the addition of James Harden and the change in Kyrie's role as a result.
Look at that, 66 points, 26 assists, and he lost whatever Maybe it was just a bad camera angle. I don't know, Rick, but James Harden looked ready to play in his first two games out, playing a total of 81 minutes, including that win over Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, yeah, certainly. I know it's a little weird. I mean, maybe it's the slimming nature of the Nets uniforms. I'm not sure, but he did look. He looked like a completely different player, and obviously, he has something to prove. He has something to live down from the way things went in Houston. And that's, to me, that is the, you know, that's why this continues to happen, because as soon as a guy plays great again, we all forget what he did. He was getting killed by everybody, us included, about what he did in order to work his way out of Houston. And then he goes to Brooklyn and reminds us what a unique player he is, what a great playmaker he can be, what a scorer can be. And we suddenly go, oh, yeah, James Harden, isn't he great? And we just missed what happened just a week ago. And that's why players will continue to do this, because teams, executives, media, and fans, we forgive and we forget. And that's why it wasn't, you know, what he did. I thought he was right. Houston wasn't capable of competing. I'm not sure how good the Nets can be, but certainly being reunited with Kevin Durant, James Harden is showing us exactly what he's capable of as a player. And most important, I don't know if you guys know, but like there's a stat, NBA Stats has a thing where they rank shots taken after a certain number of dribbles, 0, 1, all the way up to 7+. Doncic is number 1, Lillard is number 2, and James Harden is number 3. And I dare say, I didn't see any numbers. I don't think they've broken it down yet. But in the two games that I've seen him play, that number has changed dramatically. He is moving the ball, and he is playing far more efficiently than he did in Houston.
Rick Bucher, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. All right, now, is it just me, Rick, or last night? I feel like we are reacting to the Lakers' loss to the Warriors last night like they got knocked out of the playoffs in a 1-8 matchup.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, the Lakers lost. How did they lose this game? I feel like, okay, it was a typical regular season game where LeBron wanted to elevate the players around him and get them to hit big shots, and they blew a lead. But it's just the gravity this story got the last 24 hours is just way too much for me.
Yeah, I don't put a whole lot into it. I don't put any more into it than quite honestly, the Warriors coming back and beating the Clippers after being behind by a big number. I would say the one thing that I would take away from it is not, I mean, number one, the Warriors can only beat teams when they overlook them, when they give them an opportunity. They're simply not good enough unless you don't take them seriously. And then if you make it a game and they're within striking distance in the final 3 minutes, the Steph Curry, Draymond Green combo can still get a few things done. And so that's where it's dangerous. I would say the most fascinating thing for me was watching and thinking about the debate that people have about Steph Curry versus LeBron James and who's the true superstar and who's more talented and that whole debate. And what we saw were two guys, neither of whom shot the ball very well all game long. Both of them were off. But at the end of the game, in the final 3 minutes, you had no doubt that Steph Curry was going to try to find a way not only to win the game, but to take the shots that would win the game. And what we saw from LeBron James, who, as bad as the Lakers played, as indifferent as LeBron was playing the whole game, like the game was there to be won in the last couple minutes. Like just some of the energy, some of the focus, and you walk away and it's a professional win. And LeBron James in the final 6 minutes did not take a shot within 25 feet of the basket. He took 3 threes, and he looked to Alex Caruso and Kyle Kuzma to win the game. And that just, like, that sort of indifference to, you could still go and steal this game
nah, so, that's all right. You know, as you said, like, I don't know if it's like he's giving it the opportunity to other guys to win the game. I mean, I'm not sure I buy that theory, but whatever it was, that to me is at the crux of why there's that debate between the two. Because Steph was still going to go try to win it, and he was going to rely on himself to try and go win it. And LeBron, it was just a game where he said, eh, I don't care. And that is baffling when you think of the competitive level, the thirst to win that most great players have. It's not to say that LeBron's not a great player or one of the greatest. It's just that's the element about him that really, I think, confuses people and makes them reluctant to fully embrace everything that he's accomplished.
I just like that the debate continues. You mentioned tonight's games, right? Going to Bull Bowl in the shoes. The Jazz over the Pelicans, Zion Williamson, 14 of 19, 32 points, but they play no defense. So the Jazz beat them and crushed them. Have we been sleeping on Utah? I mean, they've kind of been, you know, they're sitting there at 10-4, but it's been all the L.A. talk. Is it time to expand it here as we get to the, you know, second quarter of the season?
No, you know what? I'd probably look at that other team over in the other game tonight, and that's Denver, and they've been up and down. I have more confidence in the Denver Nuggets than I do Utah. I think Utah's very good. I think Jordan Clarkson has really added something. You know, bringing back Derek Favors is a nice touch, but they're wanting a little bit when it comes to athleticism and depth of athleticism. And that's where I think the Nuggets have an edge. And I just have loved watching the way this is the crux for Denver is this is the first time that I've really been on the Nikola Jokic bandwagon. I think he's in better shape. I think he's fine tuned that being a distributor and like punishing people with his size. I see him doing more of that. I just see him really dictating the game. And as a result, and I haven't looked at the numbers, but just kind of anecdotally watching, like it's turned its head from the bubble, and Jamal Murray is kind of struggling to find his place. But when I look at the overall assets that the Nuggets have, and assuming that Murray can find his way, I think the Nuggets are that team that's on the cusp of, you know what, they could surprise people with the combination of size, defense, shooting. Like I think they check all the boxes. And Utah, for me, athletically, look, Mike Conley is looks much more comfortable, is playing much better, and so they've improved that way. But he is 35 something, and once you get past Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson, the level of athleticism on this team drops off considerably.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 analyst, longtime insider, and co-authoring a book on this year for the Knicks called Tibbs Is Our Guy. It's going to be out on Amazon, coming out soon. Rick, I know you're working really hard on it. I look forward to reading that.
Julius Randle, yo. That's the name of the title.
Hey, I need special chapters for Emmanuel quickly at the end, all right? Let's get a couple of chapters on it.
I'm about to write that one right now.
All right.
There you go.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.